This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Thank you for being with us today, and we invite you to join us on this station every Sunday for worship with us.
We talk a great deal about witnessing on this program. Today we're going to discuss the question, what about witnessing in our homes? We hope you will stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you have commissioned us to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we thank you that many have been motivated to go many miles away to tell the story of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the witnessing that goes on in our churches and in our communities, and many have come to know Christ through the words that have been spoken about him. But today, Lord, it becomes very personal when we talk about witnessing in our home. Holy Spirit, bring this truth into our hearts, and let us really examine those homes where we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of your name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease, 'tis music and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. To God all glory, praise and love be now and ever.
Friends in Christ. In our text today, we are introduced to an interesting thought, evangelism in our homes. We talk much about evangelism in our congregations, among the members who belong there, in our communities, and in the world. But today, what about homes, our homes, where some have yet to meet the Savior? As the gospel was preached in the church of the apostles, there were many people committed to faith in Christ as their Savior and Lord. From the text and from early church history, it appears that there were more women converts than men. And I assume from reading Peter's letter, that's our text today, this caused some problems. The wives were zealous, anxious to have their husbands receive Christ, but in some cases the husbands were not at all interested in the Christian faith. Perhaps they were willing to say to their wives, "Go ahead and do your thing, but leave me alone." So in our text today, Peter talks to us about the problem And I believe that it is so apropos that we are not going back 2,000 years alone, but we see a common problem that is with us today. Let me read you. It's from the third chapter of 1 Peter, beginning with verse 1. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence in your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters, if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And then husbands, in the same way, you be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partners and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. These are the words that God inspired, and they're found in 1 Peter 3, the first 7 verses. We have the same situation in many of our congregational homes today, and I would like to speak to you on this theme, evangelism in our homes. During the years that I was in the parish ministry, I obviously counseled hundreds of people who were preparing for marriage. We wanted to know if there was something that we could do that would make this a lasting marriage and one that was a blessing to all who lived in that home. So obviously, I talked a great deal about the spiritual life of both the man and the woman planning to marry. One day, a lady came into my office. I'd like to tell you this story. She was a young lady who had been raised in our church. She had a staunch faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was a beautiful person and had done well in her schooling. And now she had an upcoming wedding. I visited with her alone that day, and in our conversation, I asked her about her fiancé's church home. And she told me that he and his whole family had no church affiliation at all, never went to church, was never a part of their life. I asked if she thought this could be a problem in their marriage, and I laid the whole thing before her. She replied, "No, I don't think this will be a problem at all. I'm sure that he will join the church after we are married, but right now, I don't want to be pushy about this matter." She didn't want to lose him. I pointed to the scripture in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. There, not Peter, but Paul says, "Do not be mismated with unbelievers, and ask her to give some prayerful consideration to this." Not a very long verse. She could memorize it. Do not be mismated with unbelievers. Now, obviously, she was being married to a man who at least had nothing to do with organized religion, and I assumed he probably had nothing to do with Christ at all. And I said, the Word of God warns us against this for our own good. And all I did was ask her to give it some prayerful consideration. That woman was very concerned about having a Christian home, but really had not thought too much about it, nor had anybody suggested that she and her fiancé really visit about it. So she discussed it with him, and he discussed it with her to the point that he was willing to join a class that I was starting that was for people who were planning to join the church and wanted to know more about the basics of the Christian faith. He was there. He was a good member of the class. She came with him. He asked many questions in the class, and I believe was very interested in what he was learning. After completing the class, he was baptized and became a member of the congregation. And then came the wedding. And they were away on their honeymoon. And they came back. And they both were in church. And that was a regular way, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, until finally she began to come alone. Then she came in to visit with me again. And she said, you know, something is missing in our marriage. She suggested that they have a devotion daily with her husband, but he wasn't interested and told her that he didn't know how to pray. He didn't even pray to himself. How could he pray with her? Then she talked with him about what would happen when they had children. And he was quick to say, I will see that they get all the religious education that we can. I'll support you in every way. Then she opened my eyes when she asked, Pastor, you talked about so many things in the confirmation class. Why didn't you talk to us about this when we were in confirmation? I never recall that you mentioned it at all. And I said, no, I'm afraid I didn't. But you better believe that from that day on, there was never a confirmation class that I instructed where we didn't spend at least a good strong hour and a half on the home and Jesus Christ placed in it for both husband and wife. Well, to end our story, it's very encouraging. The couple went on. She held firm. The children came, and she took them and went to church with them. The little children came home, and they said, Daddy, why don't you come with us to church? You go every other place. We'd love to have you. That was a voice that began to break this heart down. And that man began going to church, developed a real faith. He met Jesus Christ, or rather, Christ met him. And today they have a blessed home. Not all of the stories end that way. Some of them don't end that way because the one who is in the marriage, who is supposedly a strong Christian, weakens. She's not going to fight that for the rest of her life. So she joins him. That's sad. Others of them just come to church as widows or widowers, if it's the other way around. And they have no joint relationship in the church, just she or he as individuals. Now, I don't know, but I think from my pastoral experience that I'm talking to quite a few today. Maybe some of you who are older, and this has gone on for a long time, and one of the two is outside of the kingdom of God, has no confessing faith in Jesus Christ the Savior, and drawing closer to the grave. You know, it is well for us to consider what the believer does in the home. And here is where evangelism in the home comes into being. You say, well, I've worked hard to get him to church, and more than that, to a living faith in Jesus Christ. It is not a happy thought for me that my husband is outside of the kingdom. But they have not been very effective. In fact, if I pushed it too far, he became quite rebellious. And then when we discussed this further, she would say, it isn't that I have left it to myself. I have asked some of his better friends who are very faithful in the church themselves to talk with him, to invite him along. But he wouldn't lend them an ear. And then I asked our children, the same results. Our pastor, we've had two or three of them who have had long discussions with him. He knows exactly what to do, what to say, and how to handle them. Now, my friend, if nothing like that has happened, do you think that it's possible, it's entirely possible that Peter has got something to say to you today, whether you're young and just beginning this married life, whether you're in midlife and you're busy with everything that goes on, or whether you're getting closer to the end? Listen to what he has to say. In verse 1, he says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Now, right away, we realize that the feminist movement has done quite a job in elevating the position of the woman. And certainly that was needed, because we must put a understanding on this word, submissive. We're talking, or Peter is talking, about a husband who loves his wife and is showing respect for her. Now, he is not hard on her. So some of the people who have translated this passage say, wives, in the same way, be respectful to your husbands. In other words, it is submission in one sense of the word. It is listening to what he has to say. It is not coming on heavy, but is being respectful that this is his background, this is what he believes, and this is probably is where he's going to stay unless the Holy Spirit intervenes and something really happens. So take that word submissive and read that verse as if it is using the word respect. Wives, be respectful to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. Submissive. It's the idea that I'm willing to listen. And after I have said my piece, then in love I'll draw back and let him go on and turn it all over to the Holy Spirit. The second thing that Peter says in the text is, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, I cannot be convinced that Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, God Almighty himself, is saying, don't dress up. Don't ever get your hair fixed, or in 21st century living, don't go to the beauty parlor. Don't get all that jewelry. I don't think he's talking about that at all. I think he's interested in you being nicely dressed and gracious in your appearance, so that people will say, doesn't she look nice? My wife sits in a wheelchair, and it's kind of difficult for her to really get clothes that blend in with her personality. But the family does an excellent job in seeing that Mother is cared for. She has nice clothes, and it's a lift for her. Every Friday, she goes to the beauty parlor, and she gets all fixed up. I tell you, when she comes home, it doesn't matter. She is just so happy. She looks nice. God isn't opposed to that. What kind of legalism would that be? But what he is saying is that there's far more than an external beauty. There's a beauty that comes from the heart. What are those characteristics? There's a forgiving spirit. There is a spirit that says, we could criticize, but look what we have done. As God forgives him, so let us forgive him too. See, that's a genuineness. That's what perhaps your husband is looking for. But if he sees no difference in your attitude than in that of one who never goes near the church, why look up Christ any further? Kindness. Reaching out to those who in one way or another are hurting. Thoughtful. Concerned about others. You see, friend, when you have a wife like that, that's why you become thankful for the wife that I have. Different? Sure. But God can make all people different if they live in a personal relationship with him. And for those of you who might have this problem, I'd just like to say again, listen to what Christ is saying. Take out 1 Peter 3 and don't let it be offensive to you. And begin to ask yourself, might this be the answer to our problems? And what I have said about the woman can just as well be said about the man. Evangelism is needed in our home with wives witnessing to husbands or husbands witnessing to wives. Take it from God. He has a word for you that can really change your home. Amen.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us such help in building the Christian home. We pray that our homes may be opened to the Word and that Christ might influence us in every way. Forgive us our sins where we have left you outside and you're knocking at the door. And if there be one who is a Christian and another who is not, then in a very special way, let this text be a part of your devotional literature. We pray your blessings upon those who are sick. We pray for those, O God, who care, for those who are in need. Grant, O God, that they may have strength to carry on as a person who supports the loved one who cannot function by herself or himself. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We hope that today's message will renew your strength for the week to come. Christian Crusaders is 75 years old. Our first broadcast went out over the airwaves in 1936. You're invited to help celebrate this anniversary with a gift of $75, if possible. Your donation will be used to ensure Christian Crusaders continues to broadcast the gospel for many more years to come. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. To find out more about the many ways you can support our ministry, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders now has several sermons you can enjoy on DVD video. Our 5-disc DVD video set, Basic Biblical Truths, is available for a suggested donation of any amount. These original sermons make great gifts and are ideal for pulpit supply. 4 Easter season sermons on Christ's death and resurrection are also available. To order, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. To request a CD or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for the past 75 years.